Welcome to the You Never Have to Use Again workshop of the World Convention of Narcotics Anonymous 34. My name's Dawn and I'm an addict. Can we please open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Emilio from Peru has been asked to read, Who is an Addict?
Hi, family. Emilio, an addict. Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same. Yells, institutions, and death.
Thank you. Joseph from New Jersey has been asked to read, What is the NA program?
Hi, my name is Joseph, and I'm an addict. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There is no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organization. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem, how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experiences that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you. Okay, Sabi from Nevis has been asked to read a portion of our literature.
I'm an addict called Sabi. Yes, this is from Recovery and Relapse from a Basic Text. In our daily lives, we are subject to emotional and spiritual lapses, causing us to become defenseless against the physical relapse of drug use. Because addiction is an incurable disease, addicts are subject to relapse. We are never forced into relapse. We are given a choice. Relapse is never an accident. Relapse is a sign that we have a reservation in our program. We begin to slight our program and leave loopholes in our daily lives. Unaware of the pitfalls ahead, we stumble blindly in the belief that we can make it on our own. Sooner or later, we fall into the illusions that drugs make life easier. We believe that drugs can change us, and we forget that these changes are lethal. When we believe that drugs will solve our problems and forget what they can do to us, we are in real trouble. Unless the illusions that we can continue to use or stop using on our own are shattered, we most certainly sign our own death warrant. For some reason, not taking care of our personal affairs lowers our self-esteem and establishes a pattern that repeats itself in all areas of our lives. If we begin to avoid our new responsibilities by missing meetings, neglecting 12-step work, or not getting involved, our program stops. These are the kinds of things that lead to relapse. We may sense a change coming over us. Our ability to remain open-minded disappears. We may become angry and resentful toward anyone or anything. We may begin to reject those who were close to us. We isolate ourselves. We become sick of ourselves in a short time. We revert back to our sickest behavior patterns without even having to use drugs. When a resentment or any other emotional upheaval occurs, failure to practice the steps can result in a relapse. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Christine D.A. from India. Bangladesh.
Hi, family. I am an addict, and my name is Christine. Before talking about me, because it is I'm supposed to talk about me, I have to say three things. One is that I really want to thank, without crying, I will try, because I do think that it is a big privilege to be here tonight. Even if someone was telling me, you know, this is going to be a small meeting, don't be scared. For me, there is no small or big meeting. You know, there is that big opportunity to share and to try to do it the best I can. And I think, well, all these people that has been working, you know, to make this happen. Emilio told me, you want my, what was the name in English? Anyway, so I want to thank. I really want to thank because I feel we are privileged people. We are coming from a long way. We're still alive. And so many things, good things will come. Because if it continues to come the way it has come to my life, guy, I don't want to stop this story, even if I have to cry, frankly speaking. So this is one thing I want to tell you. I want to thank a lot. I have learned in my life that I am crying now for two things. One, when I am very grateful, and one, when I am feeling impotent. So in NA, all the time, I'm feeling grateful, you know? So I'm crying all the time. And so, you know, people that know me, they are used of that, so they don't get afraid about that, you know? It's just normal. She will cry, okay. This is one thing. The other thing that I need to share with you is that I'm not a real Indian, because this one was a mistake in the book. As you can guess also, I am not a real Bangladeshi. So I just have the privilege that I am living in Bangladesh now for 5 years. So when people are asking, where are you from? I say, well, I used to say the country where I'm living. Because if you ask me in other moment, I will say it depends. It depends what we are talking about. Because my story is like that, you know. For some reason, I was born in that. My mother is French. My father is Italian. My grandmother, we don't know where she came from because she was abandoned in a church. And I was born in Africa. I grew up in the Pacific. And I decided that France was not good enough for me. So I went to Mexico. And I have been living in Latin America 20 years. So I would say that I'm just any one person from any, you know, no more, no less. Third thing I want to share with you is that you are going to suffer. I'm not suffering, but you will. Because, you know, English is not my first language. So you will listen to me with a lovely French accent. When I got this opportunity to come and to share with you, I was so honored, happy, or whatever, I couldn't say, you know, I don't want to share in English. I should share in Spanish, because I'm a much better speaker in Spanish than in English. But yes, I will, don't worry, everything will be fine. So please apologize if I, sometime I cannot express the way I would like to. My story, in fact, I would say that in my life there is two parts. There is one that was before NA, and the one after NA. The one before NA was the life for a very privileged girl, you know? Middle class family, French family, we have food, we have shelter, we have everything. Maybe what we don't have is so much the presence of a father, but it was something normal because he has to work, so nobody was asking for. I mean, it was not something. But so as I was sharing with you, I grew up in the Pacific Island, and my problem started when I was 17. I think I met the wrong guy. You know, and because I met that wrong guy and I did the wrong thing, I think that has been the point where I started to use. And I used from 17 years old up to 41 with the main objective just to make me pay what I did wrong. You know, it was something, I don't know, this capacity to hurt yourself, to want it you to pay for something that you did and you are not satisfied, but you are not able to see it clearly. So I did a set of wrong things, you know, I started to use, and as you know the story, we start to use something and then it becomes that thing and then it becomes that thing and then it becomes like that. And then it just become unmanageable. And when it become unmanageable, I thought that the story was not because of the drugs. The story was because of the guy I was living with at that moment. Because obviously he was also using. And to make the long story, I mean 20 years of using is not nothing. But to make it short, the story ended up the day I decided that life was not enough good for me. I couldn't anymore. I wanted to die, and I just wanted to die. So I decided to die, you know, in a serious way. It was not even that I wanted to call the attention. It was that for me it was too much. So I did a good meal check of whatever I could find in the house. Everything. And there was a lot of things over there. And with that clear objective, that it was, you know, today when I look at it, I say, well, my goodness. Huh? So the story is that I did that meal check thing, and I wake up in an hospital, the same way that the literature is telling, you know. There is no way to escape. So I stayed there 1 week, and for some reason it was not enough. So one day I decided that, well, if I didn't die that way, I would try another way. And I rushed out of the hospital, and I wanted to cross the road and just throw under a car. You can imagine the kind of situation, stupid situation and stupid thing, you know, because it's just a stupid thing to do. Then I came back to the hospital and I decided that I should stay maybe 15 days more because I was not ready to get out, you know. And they sent me to a psychiatric, to the... And this guy was clever enough to understand that, in fact, I didn't want to die at all. I just need to find a way to live in a better manner. So he explained me about that there was some group, but he didn't tell much. He didn't tell, well, you know, there is opportunity, you can find a place, but he didn't give me more details. And in fact, the message I got was from the son of one of my best friends. He was also using, and he explained me where, what about NA, and that he was going to a group. So I, the first day I became clean was in Mexico, and from that time I would say that my life starting to change. But you know, people, I don't know, sometimes I have the feeling that we, for me it was not so easy. It's not that, you know, I went to the group and everything was fine. I think I have been in a group the 90 days that were required, and I couldn't stop crying. I was sitting and I was just crying. And crying and crying and crying again, you know, I mean, it was something very, very crazy for me. And when I started to be able to kind of hear what the people were telling there, there were a French guy that helped me with the topic of the sponsor, and he helped me. He guided me to find someone that was my first sponsor, my first madrina, in fact. And with her, I started to kind of recover. So when you know they invited me for this topic, I realized that I really like that topic because the it's about choice, you know. It's about choice. And when I got my first madrina, I understood that I have choice. That it's just up to me. I mean, it's nothing that anyone can decide for me. It's my choice. And in every time... So I like the topic because of that. Because it's about me and the way now I want to do things for me that are good for me. And these things was a long process to understand and to be able to manage. I also like this topic because it's about my responsibility, you know. I didn't realize at the beginning that I was not responsible for being an addict. It took me a long time, you know, all the time I was feeling guilty. I was guilty all the time. Why should I behave that way? What happened to me? I mean... So, the topic that you never have to use again is about my responsibility, the way I want to have my life. Life is so short, you know? Life is flying. So why should I lose time doing things wrong that are going to hurt me if I have an opportunity just to be responsible with me and just to love me? But it took me a long, long time to realize that. I don't know why. I just don't know why. Because when I heard to people, it seemed that they go to meeting the day after this and that, they become sponsor and they have sponsors. And in my case, it was not like that. I realized that I have that choice and I have that opportunity. Maybe 5 or 6 years when I started the program, I went to therapy, and one of these therapy, you know, there was an exercise. Maybe you know that exercise. You got a pillow, and you have to decide 3 persons with whom you are very, you have a resentment, right? So you have to choose these 3 persons, and I was, you know, in front of the pillow, and I was thinking, who are these three persons that I really want to know? And obviously, the first one was my first husband. No way. This one, you know, he got the thing. Second one was my second husband. I said, well, this second also. And then the third one, I was struggling and struggling, and suddenly, I just see me, you know? And I started to give to that pillow in a way that I was even surprised. And after that, I realized that because of that, in a sense, I forgive me. And the day that I was able to forgive all the things that I considered that was the wrong thing for me, I started, like, you know, to walk. And to walk in a proper way that will be useful for me. So then how can I say that? You know, because we talk about the first step. You know, we talk about this story of surrender and admit the thing and this and that. And yes, I mean, theoretically, I can understand. I can understand. But between the intellectual thing of understanding, the story of feeling the thing, the story of making mine and really surrender, it took me years. In fact, I relapsed. I was clean, I got clean in 1996. 1 year after, I went to Paris, I met with my old friend, and as simple as it is, I just relapsed. And then I realized that I didn't want to go back where I was coming from. I didn't want to suffer anymore. I didn't want to go again to all these crises and crying and, you know, and all the world is going to... Too much drama. So then I really start to practice my program and to do it in the right way. And I think the right way here, all of us, we know that. You know, there is no secret. It's so simple. No? You get a sponsor. You got your tools, your survival kit. You know about the survival kit? I love this one. Your 12-step, your tradition. And you go to meeting and you share and you will be okay. So then it becomes a process where, knowing that this is the thing that I have to do, I started to do the right thing for me. And obviously, in that process, stopping to do the wrong thing, then the gift come by themselves. You know? Is that people was telling me, and I didn't believe that. I remember that people are over there telling me, you will see, your life will change. Frankly speaking, I didn't believe that. Until unless the first kind of manifestation, I don't know, you know, things are coming, you say, wow, really? Yeah, okay. Then you know, you want to do more and you want to do better. And in that process, I have been so gifted. You know, I mean, I don't like to talk about that, but obviously, in my process of using, I missed the opportunity to have a child. And you know, in this planet, if you are a woman and you don't have a child, you are like a second-class women, frankly speaking. And living in Latin America, it's the worst you can have. You know, even you have to lie just to be safe, you know. So for me, it was something very painful. Very, very painful that I have to say, well, do you have children? No, I don't have. No. I started to say lie, and then I stopped to say lie. I say, well, you know, I don't have. Why? This is not your business. This is my business, so don't ask. And I've been given a job where my job is to take care of the children of others that has been abandoned or they are not, you know. So in a sense, I feel very, how say that, gifted, very privileged that not having a child, I'm able to take care of so many children over there. So many children that parents are not taking care, are not taking care. That has been something. Second thing is about my family. My family, I have been considered like, the also called that the black sheep. Black sheep. We should. The black sheep, because I was a rebel. My family paid me study, paid me everything, and I decided that was not what I wanted to do. And I ran away. I went to Mexico and I did other things. So I never realized that for my brother and my sister, it has been something just horrible. They were just with such resentment to me that was so painful. And after years, we can talk. They can understand that I am an addict. They can assume that this is not my fault and I'm not responsible for that. And then they started to, in a sense, to appreciate that when I'm trying to do something good, so today we have a very, very strong relationship. And it is great because my sister is going through a cancer that I don't know how she's going to get out of that, but she's going through that. And my brother got a child that cannot hear and difficult that he can speak. So this is not something that it is, but it is so close to me. And I feel that through the program I can apply what the program is giving me in terms of principle to that part of my family and be able to take care of that part of my life using the same tool. Because this is something that I learned, that the tool that we have in the program is much more than for stopping to use. It's opened a door of choice and of opportunity that are much bigger than that. So I am using this tool today to be able to make my life much easier, much better with my friend. I have some friends that are very, pesados, we said in Spanish. And sometimes for simple things we make it big. Today I know that it doesn't make sense to get angry for that. This afternoon we have a very strange kind of teaching in the sharing this afternoon, because there were not enough shares, So we were fighting for the shares, and it was just crazy, We are in the convention, we are telling so many things about responsibility and sharing and all these things, and suddenly we get upset because we don't have our share right now. These things, time ago, I will, go on that things and make it me upset, and I decided just, this doesn't make sense. I will not go that way. So in fact, in my process with small things, one after another, I am growing up. I don't have story for you that, I have been raped, or my father did this, or my mother did that. They didn't. For some reason, I was born an addict, and I have to deal with that. And I am just a normal, simple person in this convention. And I think that many of us, we are just like that. Just human being that for some reason our emotion, I'm not able to control my emotion. And I think that this is the case of many, many of us without a big, big bang, in our life. It's just the way it is. So this is something. And another thing that I want to share with you is about diversity. I think all of us, we have the same feeling, but frankly speaking, I am always like, Ha. You know? This capacity I have to learn from Moscow to Bangladesh to India to Mexico to the Swedish people, you know? I'm not sure that we really realize that. When I am looking outside the world and the way the world is going outside, and I am looking the way we have the opportunity to show how we can live together, respecting together, being able to take care from others, you know what it is good. I say, my goodness, what a privilege. What a privilege. So, today, I'm living in a country where there is group trying to survive, because we have this conflict about the control of the therapeutic center to the group. And I don't speak the language of that country. They don't speak English, and my English is also, you know, with some limitation. But I must tell you, when I arrived to that country, they were the first people that received me. Before going to that country, I just, you know, do my own investigation if there was a group or not. And when I arrived in Dhaka, I will never forget, there were 4 or 5 boys, maybe 20 years younger than I am, telling me, welcome. And you know, I felt safe. Because, you know, it might be simple. You know, I come here, I talk about this thing, about that thing, but for me, living alone about that country, not speaking the language sometimes, you know, it's not so easy. So to know that there is a group that even if we cannot talk, even if when I share they don't understand me, if they share I don't understand what they are telling, you know what it is, the how can I say that, the vibration, the feeling, the empathy, the wisdom. So I'm just sitting, listening, I don't understand a clue. I am sharing and I can see that they don't understand a clue, but we are feeling so safe. And I think that because of them, and again, because of NA, I survive. I have been able to manage. I have been able, without any regular meeting, but, you know, sticking to my, just for today, sticking to my sponsor, calling when I have an urgent need, to be able to stay clean, just for today. And frankly speaking, these things, I don't want to drop them. I'm really not ready to drop anything of what NA is giving to me. Then the story is how I can give back what you are giving to me. And this is the more complicated thing, you know, because we always want to share in a way that, you know, so nice sharing, so this and so that. It's not so easy. But I really want to tell you, I'm not ready to drop anything from NA, whatever the circumstance. I am living now in next month in a new country. I will leave Bangladesh. I will go to a new country. There is no group. But today, I know that I will be okay. I know that I have my survival kit. I know that I can manage. And in the best of the case, I know that if there is an opportunity, I should work to open a group or to do something better for NA in that country. So this is where I am. And finally, the last thing, I don't know how I'm with time and all these things, you know, it's late. And this is I think it's the last meeting, you know. hope you will not say, well, the last meeting was not so good. You know, there were that French girl and we did that. Anyway. But another thing that I really want to share with you is that I have learned that I need to be vigilant. You know? That's a story for the old timer and all these people over there that are supposed to show the way. Frankly speaking, because when they were telling me, well, you know, after some years you will not come regularly and this and I said, bullshit. I will go. But the fact is that I'm not going. And then the crisis is coming. So I know that I need to take care of myself. I cannot drop. I told my mother, I have a mother, I will not start the story of the mother because you can be there for 3 days. But the fact is that she cannot admit that I am an addict. So she tried to manage, you know, because I'm telling. But just before the convention, she said, well, how long time are you going to go to that convention? Now it's a long time that you are not using. Are you sure that you need to go? I say, you know what? I have to. If I have to survive, I have to. I have to be vigilant. I cannot just rest off all the gifts that I've received. I cannot do that. You know, it's a day after day. It's something. I had a just for today that I had since 1997. Someday in Paris, they opened my suitcase, they took the book with all the dedicatory and everything. I really missing that one. I will start a new one. But my point is that I cannot today start today without reading my just for today. It's just, you know, sometimes I am in stress, I am in a rush, I am in the elevator. And I'm coming back because I didn't read my just for today. I cannot sleep without the serenity prayer. It's just impossible. I really have day after day to look the way, because I'm still an addict, you know, and I am always stressed, and sometimes I talk very badly to my people and the people I am working with. So for me it's very important to make an inventory every day and to look at what I have done, where it was okay, when it was wrong. I cannot live without that. So I need to be vigilant, because I have heard stories of people with 10 years, 12 years, 13 years. They relapse. And for me it's like, una bofetada. I mean, because for me, the people that have more time, they need to show me the way. I need the people to show me the way. I need them. So the same way I need the newcomer, I need the old people there. Newcomer remain the most important thing, and it is true. Because for me, they are showing me where I'm coming from. And now I can help. And I will try to do my best to help. So this is where I am. I'm very grateful. Not only because I didn't cry too much, but because this is a privilege. Really. Just think about your life. How we were, you know, when we stopped to use and the way we are today. And I am really, really grateful to all of you, you know, even if you are tired. You're great. I love you very much. Thank you. My name is Christine and I am an addict.
Thank you, Christine. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Barry G. from New Jersey.
Hey everybody, I'm an addict. My name is Barry. And I've been instructed not to keep everybody hostage. So I'm grateful to be here. I love NA. It's an honor. I mean, it's an honor and a privilege to be asked to share anywhere for NA, to be of service to NA. I'm really psyched to be here at a world convention, really psyched to be sharing at a world convention. I have a ton of experience, some of it good, some of it not so good. I've done a lot of things right, done a lot of things wrong. The promise, never have to use again. When I was, like, a friend of mine submitted a CD for me, like, to give you a little history, I had 12 plus years in use. And I'll have 12 years again on Tuesday. So, like a lot of people in a bunch of different conventions have asked me to share on recovery and relapse, relapse and recovery, relapse as a process. So when I was first told that this was the topic that I was going to share on, I felt less than. You know, I felt like I had the gift, I gave the gift back, so I don't qualify to share on that topic. You never have to use again. Until I talked to a few people, my sponsor, and I was told that what happened to just for today? You know, and just for today, I never have to use again. It's not about the past. It's not about what I had, what I didn't have, whether I used. It's about what I want to do about my problem today and how you guys can help and how willing am I to receive the help when it comes. And I said, okay, and that made sense to me. Because I was crazy in my head about where do I go with this? What am I going to share about? And what it's about our promise. We have a promise in here. And the promise is that any addict can stop using drugs. Any addict can lose the desire to use drugs. And any addict can find a new way to live. And that's good enough for me. Good enough for us. Our literature tells us that we have never seen an addict relapse who is living this way of life. So, okay, what is this way of life? Going to meetings. Being honest. Getting a sponsor. Getting and using a sponsor. Becoming a part of a home group. Not just in name, but participating. Developing a relationship with something to believe in. And these are all the suggestions. You know, what I found out in my time in NA is that the success stories in here are always the same. If we ask people that have been here for a long time that seem to have the kind of recovery that we admire, that want something that we have, and we say, what do you do, man? Or excuse me, miss, what do you do? I don't use drugs, first and foremost. You know, when I used, it was devastating to me. But I did it, and I wanted to deny that I did it. You know, and what had happened is, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I came to NA, I was 36 years old. I had never been off parole or probation my whole life, since I was 16. Came to NA, was clean from 1985 to 1997. Never got arrested. I had neck surgery and went through a divorce. Was in a lot of emotional pain. The doctors were giving me morphine sulfate. They were giving me Percocets. And when they said stop, I said no. I ended up stealing script pads, writing scripts, and getting arrested twice in 2 weeks. My sponsor told me how loving this God of our understanding is, that He brought it to my attention quickly that I can't use successfully. And it took from 1997 to 1999 to get clean again because I didn't want to do what you guys suggested. I refused to do a 90 and 90. If somebody would come up to me and give me a hug with 30 days or a year, I would like in my head say, man, go tell somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, I would say to myself, if you had 10 years, maybe you can help me. You know, and I was as arrogant as the day is long, man. And it wasn't until I surrendered that the process became possible again for me. And what I was trying to get to was, I had to do it all again. I had lost faith in the promise, or lost willingness to do the action that it takes to for the promise to be fulfilled. I was a mess. But think of this. For the first time in my life, I had found this much success in anything I'd ever done. Because all my life I was told I was no good. I was told I was a liar. I was told I was a thief. I was told just that I was a mess. You know, I remember my father at 20 telling me, Barry, when are you going to grow up? And my father telling me, Barry, at 30, when are you going to grow up? And it wasn't quite as funny. And at 35, it was even less funny. And I remember when I used for the last time, my mother knew I was high. And she had seen me clean for a bunch of years. And she did the same thing, like, when are you going to grow up? And hearing that statement when you're like middle-aged, it hurts. It hurts. It isn't funny. And I wanted to grow up. And I had been clean a while, and my whole life revolved around Narcotics Anonymous. We had started meetings. I sponsored a bunch of people. I thought in my head that I was somebody. I thought I was drug-proof. When I was 10 years clean, I would have bet the ranch I never would have used again. I would have bet the ranch. And I used again. And what that told me is there was a for real lack in my program. But what happened was, I wouldn't tell you guys, I went to H&I commitments high. I refused to tell people that I had used, because you guys were all I had in life. And I tried to live clean while using drugs. And if I could share anything of importance with this fellowship, it is impossible to be clean and use drugs. For real. I tried. I tried a lot of different ways. And I couldn't. And the disease always wins in the end. We might win a skirmish, or think we won a skirmish, but it all comes out in the wash. This disease is way more powerful than I. But it's not way more powerful than us. It's not way more powerful than the grace of a loving God. It's not as powerful as the grace of a loving fellowship. It's not more powerful than a set of spiritual principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. And when we think about it, like the God of our understanding, like my God that I believe in is very generic. He's the N.A. God of our understanding, the God of goodness, the God of mercy, the God of love, the God of grace, and the God of mercy. So, on a daily basis, I have to go back to the just for today. Just for today, I've been told that if I live this way of life, I'll be okay. As long as we follow this way, we have nothing to fear. And when I first was informed about this topic, it made me think of second step. What is my evidence? How do I know that as long as I live this way, I'll never have to use again? How do I know? Prove it to me. Like everything I do with all the steps, I try to incorporate the second step in it, and I try to examine the evidence, and I try to present everything as if I'm a trial attorney. Okay, my evidence is, when I came to NA, I was 36 years old. My life was a nightmare. It was shit. I lived on parole and probation. When I came to NA, I lived in a 35-hour room that I paid for. And the landlord used to come every Friday night, and if I didn't have the 35 hours, he knew he was beat. You know, I couldn't go. It was like a little bedroom and a little kitchen. It had roaches, and my life was about nothing, nothing, nothing. And I came to NA, and as long as I live this way, I don't get arrested. So what does that tell me? If I don't want to go to jail, live this way. The last time that I went to court on those charges that I told you about was the day that would have been my 13th anniversary. And I was before a Superior Court judge in Norristown on 3 felony charges. And he said, "Mr. Gordon, we've seen you in the 60s. We've seen you in the 70s. We've seen you in the 80s. It's 1998. What are we supposed to do with you? You tell me." And I just shrugged my shoulders and said, "Your Honor, I was involved in a 12-step fellowship. I'm back in a 12-step fellowship. And I begged the court for leniency." And he said, "You know what, Mr. Gordon? I believe in 12-step fellowships. I believe in 12-step programs. I'm going to give you a break, but if I see you in the next 5 years while you're on this probation, I'm going to try you as a career criminal. Think about that." Now, this is the insanity and the insidiousness of the disease. I went with a guy named Knucklehead Fred, who was clean. He dropped me off at my house, and to celebrate, I went upstairs and wrote a script and took it to the drugstore. 2 hours after the judge gave me that warning. Powerlessness. Using against my will. Just for today, I don't want to be that. Just for today, I have faith. I have the hope that the fellowship promises me that just for today, just for this 24-hour period, I can walk under the umbrella of grace and that I never have to use again on a daily basis. And I go back to the evidence, my evidence of how do I know? Do I know people who never used again? I sponsored a guy named Chuck. Convict all his life. He was nothing but a thief and a bum. Found NA. Got 15 years clean. Passed away from cancer. Buried with an eternity medallion. Sponsored a guy named Bert. Died 15 years clean. Big Bert. Cancer. Never used again. My ex-wife's best friend, Dominique. 20 years clean. Brain aneurysm. Dropped dead. Never used again. And when I had used in 97, and everybody wanted to kick me to the curb. She was French. She was the one that she had the big old smile, and with that French accent, she would go. She was like a cheering section, an NA cheering section, telling me that she knew that I could do this. She knew. Barbara Blaze. An old legend. We went to Nebraska together. We went all over together. She ate at my house regularly. Close to 30 years clean. Never used again. That's the evidence. That's what tells me. It's the same people who told me when I got here, "Hey, Bear, we're just like you. And we're not using today." Can you imagine that, an addict not using for a day, a week, a month? Take a stroll down memory lane. Think of the last day you used, the last week you used. For me, it was the last 2 decades I used. My life was horrible. Horrible. No hope. No faith. I never saw anybody recover from the disease of addiction. I saw people go to Lexington, Kentucky, to the drug farm. I saw people go to Second Genesis, Synanon, get their head shaved, wear signs, clean bathrooms with toothbrushes, get built down to be built back up, and then at 6 months they earned the right to drink alcohol, and at 7 months they were shooting dope. That's what treatment was. God bless Narcotics Anonymous. Any addict, rich, poor, white, black, Spanish, Indian, Greek, any religion, no religion, gay, straight, don't know what you are, it doesn't matter. They say that this is a universal program. It's a spiritual program. A universal program that feeds the spirit. That's something every one of us has. And no matter how damaged it is, how fractured we are when we get here, help is here, man. And it's the same addict. You know, this is the way I relate it. I remember my best friend Richard came up to me in 1965 and handed me a joint. He said, "Try this, man. It's going to change your life." I said, "All right." He said, "You're going to love it." I said, "Okay." When I was in treatment, Narcotics Anonymous, hospitals and institutions, panel, they said, "Hey, Barr, remember when we approached you and said, here, try this. We think you will enjoy this way of life. Well, we're here to make our amends. We're here to tell you we screwed up. But we're also here to tell you we have a solution. We have an answer. The answer is us. You are the problem. We are the solution. All you need to do is believe." And all my life, I've always felt totally comfortable around addicts. Always. When I was using, nobody I'd rather be around than a using addict. And in recovery, nobody I'd rather be around than a recovering addict. Nobody. So, it wasn't hard to buy in. It's pretty easy. When you guys said, you know what the thing was? NA offers a solution, but also identifies the true problem. Everywhere else has either a piece of either, but it's not a complete story. Like, I went to lawyers, they said, write a check. I went to judges, they said, do 5 years. I went to the methadone clinic, they said, here, drink 160 milligrams. And if you're good, we'll give you take-homes. I went to psychiatrists. I went to a psychiatrist, and I was shooting morphine in his parking lot. And I came in, I was pickled. And he said, if you want to continue with me, you're going to have to stop. I said, okay. And he never asked me again. What kind of treatment is that? I got guys I sponsor that look me. My buddy Rocky, I sponsor, he looks me dead in the eye. And he goes, are you clean today? And the thought goes through my head, what are you, friggin' crazy? He goes, I want to know that my NA sponsor is clean. And I'm not afraid to ask. He holds me accountable. That's what NA does, man. I don't know where I would be without it, but I do know where I'd be. Jails, institutions, and death. I believe the truest line in all of our literature is that the ends are always the same. I believe that, man. I've witnessed that. Been to way too many funerals. Way too many funerals. Let me see what time it is. Ooh, it's 1 o'clock. I am thrilled to be here. I am thrilled that you're here. And like I said, I've been told I can't keep this meeting hostage. Because I could keep you guys here all night, man. There's two things that I love to talk about. N.A. and Nick. And if given the opportunity, man, I can, you know, I'm a bucket mouth. I'm just going to say I'm glad we're all clean, man. And I am a proud member of Narcotics Anonymous. And I say this every time I share. When I die, on my tombstone, I would love nothing more if I ever get a tombstone than have it read, "Here lies an N.A. soldier." We have way too many lovers. Way too many lovers. Look around. Check the hallways. Check the dances. N.A.'s abundant with lovers. But we're way short on soldiers. And the rewards are being a soldier. You know what I mean? It says in the 12th step, the deeper we wade in, the greater the rewards will be. I do H&I. I sponsor like 10 people. I'm an active member of my home group. I give my phone number to anybody who asks. I go anywhere somebody asks me to come. I've driven from New Jersey to Nebraska on my dime to share at an event. You know what I mean? How much do we owe N.A.? It depends on how much we value our recovery. And for me, it's all I have. My most important membership, my most important possession is my membership here. Because without it, you wouldn't want to know me. You wouldn't want to be with me. I'd be back to the same bum, the same lowlife, the same thief, the same liar, the same creep that I had always been. And the thing that I hate most about the disease of addiction is we can do this perfectly for 10 years. We can do this perfectly for 20 years. But we're one bad decision away from using. The thing I hate about this disease is I'm farther away from a drug than I've ever been, but I'm just as close as I've always been. One arm length away. So that's why vigilance is the key. If I want to live the dream that we never have to use again, I need to be honest, open, and willing. And I need to be vigilant. And I need to continue in this process. Thanks for listening.
Okay, let's thank Christine and Barry for speaking. And Jimmy C. from Corpus Christi has been asked to read, "We Do Recover."
I almost try to jump up there like I used to. I'm Jimmy, I'm an addict. I'm an NA trooper too. We do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you, Jimmy. Okay, so I'd like to ask everyone to join together and close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
Yeah.